Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody. Here we are in the fourth week, or is it fifth week, January 26, 09, brand new year. Most of our shows, especially someone has brought up, is Bonnie in the show with us tonight. Bonnie and I do our own show on Thursday night, and she talked me into it, and we just love it. I don't even know if she's in the chat room tonight. Kind of letting the chat room fill up before we really kind of get going with our guest tonight. Oh, I had so much fun on his show. This is Nick of, and I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly. I'm going to be very, very careful. Spiritual Sorcery. And we had a show on the 17th. So we did put our the link to his site in the description. And if you want to go listen to the show that I did with him on the 17th, you know, kids, if I have a cup of coffee, I'm hot and ready to go. On top of that, it was a middle afternoon, so I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch. I was just nonstop for 2 hours, and we had answered questions, and we talked about the book In the Funk and how it relates to time travel, how we access our own time and get in the funk because of it. So if you want to go to his link, you can listen to our show together. And that's what we're doing tonight. I invited him to my show. Now, the poor guy, he's in Canada. It's late. He's always starting at 11 o'clock at night. So when I called him, I want everybody to be patient in the chat room. It's almost full. He is going to have the show, and if he wears out and it's late, he'll say, Nancy, give me a break. Answer a couple questions. We will. Otherwise, I want him to have the freedom of knowing that this hour is for him. And that is what Blog Talk is about, is sharing airtime with friends you meet online. There's no better compliment, and it is a privilege to have this unique and wonderful communication, not only between states, but between countries. And Puerto Rico calls me, Singapore called me. So we have people from all over the place listening to this Blog Talk Radio Hour of Power, as I don't know what to call it. But Nick is on the line, and he is going to talk about, and you kids got to listen to this, spirit communication. And he has so many websites. He's so gifted in his writing skills that if you haven't picked up and read some of his blogs, you're missing out. I've read so much of his site that I forgot which sites have what interest, so he may have to clarify that for you. But wouldn't you know, just before we got on, I did have an appointment early this evening, one an hour, and on the heels of that appointment and talking to him and confirming tonight, I had a call from a longtime friend. Her name is Helene. And Helene and I knew of a psychic friend. She was kind of like a mom to both of us, who died, I believe, 2002. And Helene had a dream last night where she was sent home, picked up the phone, it was ringing, and Marilyn was on the line talking to her. Now, the theory is that spirit kind, if they've passed over and gone on to the great divide, hello, heaven, the big city, or coexist with us and they're not stuck and they're not ghosts, they will oftentimes have the freedom of entering dreams. So Helene got a call from Marilyn, and I thought it was so timely. And I've longed to hear from her myself. This was a kind, wonderful woman. She was one of those psychics who sat on the phone for hours and hours, days after days, smoking her cigarettes, drinking her coffee, and she helped so many people. But she died of a bronchial so sudden at the age of 65 in 2002. So on the heels of that, that brought up soft memories for me, longing to hear of deceased family for myself and friends. And I hope that we have a lot of fun tonight. I encourage you to stay in the chat room. If you do have a question for Nick, please, if you have a question for me, and the chat room is full, so there's five people on hold, I know you kids are all listening, please stay and listen to our show tonight. If you do have a question for me, if you want to stay on, fine, but be patient because I want Nick to have as much time as he feels comfortable, considering he's starting at 11 o'clock at night in Canada. So, Nick, are you still there, or did I talk and wear you out and you've fallen asleep at the helm?
Oh, no, no, I'm wide awake here, Nancy. I'm wide awake.
Now, you kids, you think that's a beautiful voice, huh? Can you not wait to hear a whole hour of his great conversation with me? I heard his voice. I went, this kid has got to be on the radio. So, Nick, I am so tickled. We had so much fun with our show together, and now you're on my show together with me. How are you going to start tonight with your great topic?
I actually wanted to start with you, Nancy.
Okay.
Something that happened to me, and you were actually played a major hand in this. I had tuned into your show.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh my goodness, probably about a month ago. And I had been to your show a couple of times before that, but I had been experiencing this very high-pitched ringing in one ear, and I think we had talked about this a little bit, but it lasts between 3 and 10 seconds, and I know that it was communication, but what I didn't know on this particular day was who was trying to communicate with me. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had called in and I had asked you, and you had said, I see a white-haired lady, and she has really been trying to get your attention. She really needs to get for you to get a hold of her. And I can remember the show ending, and I was sitting here, and I'm thinking, a white-haired lady. I don't know any white-haired lady. I don't know any white-haired lady that has, passed beyond the veil. And then it clicked in. The lady that you were referring to was one of my departing guides named Arabelle.
Oh.
That evening, I was strongly directed to journey to a place. Now, what's I need to make sure that you understand is I worked with a series of guides in a particular location, and it was probably 2-3 times each month that I would journey there. And of course, one of my jobs was to add one more feature to this realm that I was creating.
Oh.
Arabelle was a doctor-teacher guide, and she was largely responsible for helping me develop very specific mediumship skills, namely working with oracle cards.
Oh! Now,
what was unusual was that I hadn't felt her presence for a number of months, and when you had said a white-haired lady was trying to get a hold of you, she really wants you to contact her. And I went there, and yes, sure enough, she's waiting there for me. Well, one of the things that I still find it unusual, when I was brought to this place where I began working with the guides, the only thing that was there was a high stone bluff, a crystal castle on top of a golden pyramid, and I did not put them there. Now, the entire time that I was working with the guides there, I didn't even worry about the pyramid for some reason. It wasn't important. But when I journeyed there that evening, she took me down to the base of this pyramid, and the door was open. When I walked inside, I was astounded because, if you're listening, you can believe this or not believe this, but inside there was a dragon that was chained up by the leg. And apparently I had put him in there. And I went over and I tore the shackles off of him, and I can remember apologizing. I can't believe I did that to you. I can't believe I did that to you. That dragon, that aspect, opened up an incredibly huge door for me as far as my continuing learning and education. And I think it facilitated a new series of guides to come in because even from 6 months ago, 5 months ago, they've all changed up for me. And even in the last few months, they've been changing up. I've had the same ones for probably the last 4 months steady.
And that word you just said, I want to make sure that the audience can hear this too. What were they doing? They were changing? Or they're changing places? What was that word you used? Because I didn't quite understand that.
Changing up. They were leaving me to go on to work with somebody else. They had as far as what was needed, as far as what their job was.
Oh.
They were turning me over to a new series of guides to continue my education.
Wow.
But the point was, you were very instrumental in me actually realizing that. And I thought that was so incredible when we were talking about the topic for tonight, about it being spirit communication. you know, because we never know where that is going to come from.
That's for sure.
I thought,
or if we're going to be able to hear it when it does show up. Knock you on the head. You know, I got stories about things like that. Go ahead. It's fun.
And I thought that was quite incredible. Now, you, that story that you mentioned right at the beginning, that was beautiful. Oh, my goodness. One of the things that I found, and you can agree or disagree, but what I found was that when, in my own experience, before I had begun developing any type of abilities, one of the ways that my guides got messages to me were not only through other people, but, as you said, through dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you found that in consistent with the people that you've been working with in your line of work?
Oh, my gosh. You have to appreciate over these 20 years, 19 and a half years, it'll be 20 years in May, 1st of May. It's hard to believe how many people have told me that they have had dreams following a death of someone in the family. And I find sometimes that the harder you want something, less likely it's going to happen because you're stressing, your energy is not receptive. I don't know if people don't remember as much as they're either too deep in their grief, if it's a family situation, or they're too yearning. I find that spirit communication comes in almost every form. There's a gal that I've been talking to as a family, and to keep their privacy, she actually is having spirit communication by someone leaving coins. This is very, very common. And so she was in a state of not in the best emotional place, and her body reacted by giving her uncomfortable, I can't remember, she said muscle tension or headache. So she went to the medicine cabinet, opened up the aspirin container, and when she filled it out, there are two dimes in it. Well, no one had been playing games with her because in the last 2 days before that headache, she had been finding pennies and dimes in the kitchen and elsewhere in the house. And when I talked to her and she told me this story, she wanted to know if the deceased person that we've been dealing with was her. And I says, oh, no, this is another man that they recognize as a grandfather. And he was mischievous. And we tried to put the pieces together, understand this, that I think the coins was her pay attention to ask me. And you can have messages or please acknowledge I'm a spirit person, I'm in your life by giving coins. The people that have dreams or spirits, they see a spirit that's recently departed, are usually people who are not in the throes of the grief. But a lot of times when they do have the dream, it's a very easy communication. My gosh, you asked me how many ways, it's just unbelievable. People say automatic writing. So tell us about what else you got from your dream, because this is very, very common. But you are so intuitively and connected to your own spiritual path that I think you were receptive and willing and open after, especially, maybe I was a catalyst, your spirit people say, hey, call that Nancy, she'll help you figure this out. They were waiting in the wings for you to be open to the idea that you were going to get communication and it was okay to receive it. And boy, they've been lining up at the front door saying, is it my turn? Can I come in now and get to this guy? I kind of think that you are right on the cusp of a new awakening or a new vibrational upstairs. That, you know, how we kind of evolve. You know, it's just, you're so delightful and you're so honest and so innocent and you're wanting to grow and kind of like a child that's opened a door and Disneyland's on the other side and you don't know where to go next. You're just so fresh that you're open and they're so eager to get to you. And that's why I wanted you on the show, because what I've seen in your writings is that you're so wanting, and that's why I wanted the audience to listen to tonight, is that they're asking questions. I have people, the room is full. They wanted a answer my question for me, but are they enlightened? Are they following what we're saying and hearing Nancy speak, that on some level, every question has a sense of grief or stress to it? But how many of us could get those same answers, but not from me, but from their higher self. And you're right there getting it. And you're allowing your spirit people to assist you in getting those answers, right?
Oh, most definitely.
Well, listen, how about this? Greg says, how can one learn how to communicate like that? Thank you very much. And by the way, kids in the chat room, do type in CAP. I should have my computer glasses on, but I don't like them. So I will see the CAPs, and this is a question for you. So go ahead and answer that and keep talking about your journey here.
Well, I could tell you one of the things that I could not understand for a very long time is I was first awakened spiritually, and it was quite unusual because I was given a glimpse before the actual awakening occurred, and it was by being directed to work as a volunteer on a campaign for this lady that I had never met, who was trying for the first time to become a member of provincial parliament. I had never met her before, but for some reason I felt very strongly drawn to her and her cause. And for about 2.5 months, I was there as a volunteer, and it was an incredible time. It was just such a counterpoint to where my life was at the time. I was in a lot of misery, I can tell you, a lot of misery, and I think I needed to get to that point where, you know, everybody does. Enough is enough. You know, I'm sick and tired of where this was going, and I know that a lot of the things that I was experiencing was karma and the balancing of karma. But what I found was I would be led to explore a topic, for instance, remote viewing. And I spent, the better part of 5 months learning the fundamentals, learning how to do it properly, learning how to record the results properly, and to the point where I knew that I was reasonably, able to do it to a reasonable degree. And then my interest was directed in a totally another direction. So I left that behind and went on. Now, this seemed to occur, over the course of six and a half years. And I had people that actually turned away from me. And I thought these people were, you know, spiritually centered, spiritually grounded. And their opinion was, well, what are you doing? You're all over the place. You should stick with just one thing and learn it. And that's it, because that was what their perspective was. And what I realize now is that all these little things were all stepping stones, and they needed to be picked up in a very, very precise order. And we're talking about the communication. I relate a story to my really good friend Cheryl, who's in the chat room.
Cheryl.
What started me on the path, other than working as a volunteer, was I was given the strange urge to learn about astral projection. And that was one of the things that I worked on steadily for 5 or 6 months. And there was a number of exercises that I learned in the process of this that ended up branching out into other directions. But one of the most, probably the first time that it had ever happened, I had been sitting in my living room, a little wee bachelor apartment, and I had a vision of a tall green plant in one corner of my apartment. Now, I don't have plants, and I had no desire to have plants. This was just prior to Christmas. About 2 days, 3 days after Christmas, I ended up having a doctor's appointment, which was within a walking distance. Now, I had walked back, and for some reason, I had turned left on a street when I could have gone straight. And I hadn't gone more than 200 feet, and I looked up, and this plant that I was shown in the vision was sitting there on the curb in the midst of all this Christmas garbage. And my jaw just dropped. And I brought it home, and the leaves were all brown. When I changed the soil up, there was like beer caps in it. And I mean, the poor thing had been abused. And at the same time, I was just learning a little bit about energy healing. And I started to apply energy healing, you know, to this plant, and I didn't know if I was having an effect because all these leaves were still turning brown on me and dying and falling off. And, you know, it was kind of, I thought that I wasn't doing it properly, and, you know, we always question ourselves about stuff like that. But for me, the reason I brought that up was, for me, that was a direct communication from spirit, but in a way that I would be able to understand, because my main psychic strong sense, if you will, is clairvoyance, and I see things much more than I hear or I sense. But that was, I would say, probably one of the most vivid examples of opening my eyes up, that this was one of my abilities, and as a result, I found that a lot of the learning or education that I was being directed towards involved that aspect of the clairvoyance and developing that, and then, of course, developing the other ones, you know, the clairsentience and clairaudience. But the spirit communication, man, oh, man, oh, man, there's so many different ways. And I know you, you, Nancy, I'm sure that you've come across a lot of people with such a wide variety of stories. And
oh, my word. I'm just amazed that you've been able to have visions. That's the least accessible way of communication. But the audience or somebody in the room there, I don't know if I can flip it back fast enough to see who it was. I think it's Greg. He's also Canadian, and he said, how can we learn to do it ourselves? Clearly, recognizing, and I'm stepping in front of Nick here and taking his time, but clearly Nick has a born ability to see, but he allows him to acknowledge seeing. He encourages communication through seeing. Give me a vision. I'm open to receiving. So when he has a waking dream or a moment of spiritual clarity, that you are allowing something to be shown to you, that you do pay attention. And a lot of us will get a waking dream, or you just relaxing, and all of a sudden you have a sense of something. That's important to notice it's outside of the normalcy of where you're in the moment. So when you were, I can't remember where you said you were sitting or doing something, you had a sense of a flash in your mind of a particular plant, that you said, that's important, but I don't know why. So it's the same with me. I put no judgment. So let me share with you a message that was given to a client yesterday, because what I'm going to share with you is, if you don't judge what's given to you, and it then shows that it's authentic, then you will receive more. So the gal calls, has a session, she says, my mother, she's in spirit, what message does she have for me? So I was shown a peach pie and an artichoke. Now, most people would not associate those two as important together. And I cannot judge, because it's not for me, it's for them. So I said this to her, and the gal went, right. And she says, well, clearly that's not for me. I have not the foggiest idea what you mean. But we had been talking about her children and her oldest daughter. Years ago, I had mentioned she'd gone to business, possibly coffee place, and that was the topic for tonight, that night, yesterday. She says, I don't know what it means, but I'm going to share it with my daughter. Well, in doing so, the daughter said, I want to serve dessert, pie, during the day, and at night, coffee and dip. My favorite pie is peach, and my favorite dip is artichoke. So I was open to receiving what was important for her without a judgment. Now, let me share another way of getting it. Say you're driving somewhere, and you know that you're going down a boulevard, and you need to go, well, one of my favorite shows. And all the girls in the audience go, oh, yes, TJ Maxx, Ross, Marshalls. You know, these are really fun stores, and you see the latest fashions, and it's so fun. So anyway, you don't you ever have a sense that you're going down and you're being told to go to the left, but it's inconvenient to go to the left because you don't want to go there to the parking. You're going to go to the right. and you go to the right, there's no parking, you go all around the block and end up where you should have gone in the first place to find that parking place. That spirit kind, not just your psychicness, that spirit kind giving you spirit communication. And if your body rejects that, it's going to be harder for you next time to get the information and pay attention to it. I'll never forget. You know, we ladies are always looking for the bathrooms, right? And I was headed home when I lived in Sacramento. This is a long time ago. And around the bend, around the curve, where you couldn't see on the other side, was a railroad track. And I was always having to go that way in Prague. And so one day I'm going down the street thinking, I have got to get home. It was one of those days. And we women always wait, right? And Spirit said to me, stop and get a hot dog at the Circle K. Well, you can imagine. That's the most unusual message you can get in the whole world. And I says, I just don't even want to get out of the car. I just want to do this. And I was getting anxious. Well, ladies, you know, if you get anxious, that trigger is saying you have to go quicker, right? And I got kind of frustrated. I said, I don't want a hot dog. Well, I went around the corner, around the bend, and guess what? When I got there, in a hurry, I was held up by a train. If I had just stopped and relaxed and got that hot dog, I would have had a hot dog, I would have been relaxed, I wouldn't be in line with other cars, smelling exhaust, waiting for a really long train. So when you get a hit on something and you don't pay attention, you are going to pay the price. So someone in the room says, how are we going to do that? And I'm sharing with you that Nick is anxious, wanting, willing. He has enough gift that he's paying attention that's going to be given to him more. He trusts that people like myself will give him that little bit of clarity of who is trying to talk to him. But you can do it on your own. And I don't mean the two stories that really reminded me of how you first can pay attention. Once you start paying attention, and you're allowing and wanting and willing, and those kids are in the chat room, how many of you have a question if you just go to bed at night and say, give me an answer? Or can I trust an instinct, go yes or no on a piece of paper? One girl said, in court, I got to go on Wednesday. How's it going to come out? Well, you're still going to go to court. How it turns out, you have control over it. If you have yes, I'm going to be okay, no, I'm not going to be okay. Is it no, I'm not going to be okay because it's stressful? Or is it, yes, you're going to be okay because you're not stressed? Hard question to answer. But maybe you need to be relaxed and make sure you have everything so that you aren't stressed, so you can better answer. That is called spirit communication. Right, Nick?
Oh, most definitely. And one of the key things that I found that was absolutely essential was being grateful and expressing that gratitude. Because as you said, you know, once we acknowledge it and once we express that gratitude, you know, it doesn't matter how small it is. And I'll give you a very, very quick example.
Oh, you have the whole, yes. Now, kids, we still got another half hour of the show, but Nick and I are just hanging in there. If, you know, you can go to Bonnie's show on Thursday night with me. If you got questions, we'll do psyche stuff. This is a really special, and I really want you kids to learn how to do this, because if you can take care of the little stuff and come to me with the big stuff, spirit communication can give you your answers. All right, Nick, give us an example.
Okay. Part of it, of course, is letting the universe know that you are willing to be a conduit for the love and light of the Creator. That is how I phrase it. I mean, you can always phrase it any way that you want, but letting the universe know that you are there and that if there is a need, even if it's just a smile, you know, what I do when I leave, every time I leave, I ask, please, allow me the opportunity to spread the love and light of the Creator with at least one soul while I'm out. And without fail, I'm telling you, without fail, there was always at least one. Now, I had, sometimes have difficulty with the idea of giving. In London here, where I live, there's a fair number of panhandlers sometimes that are in the
uh-huh.
Yeah, right. And I don't have a lot of money, but it was a point that had been given to me that I need to be paying attention to this aspect of my giving. Now, I had gone up to the grocery store and I had passed this guy with a shopping cart, and he had a white dog on a leash. And Spirit was telling me, give him some money, give him some money. And all I had was two 20s and a 10, and I'm saying, no, look, I got to go grocery shopping. This is all that I have. I went grocery shopping. I was bringing my groceries back, and I had like a $5 bill and a little bit of change. Well, it was odd because the street just before mine, there's a store there, and I looked in, and I saw my work partner inside. I scooted in there for a couple of minutes, and something strongly directed me that, okay, this is time to leave now. I said goodbye. I walked out onto the street, and I swear, 10 feet in front of me, this guy, same guy was coming towards me. And I reached in my pocket, and I knew right away. Grabbed the $5, and I slipped it to him, and I said, you know, I think maybe your dog could use a little treat. And the dog just started wagging his tail and going crazy, and then it licked my face. And he was saying, oh, my goodness, thanks so much, thanks so much. I said, no, you know what? That was well worth it, because this dog was just, like, vibrating. It was so happy, and I couldn't quite understand. But what was so odd was when I walked away, I had a strongest urge. I thought that he was an angel.
Ooh, I got goosebumps.
Dude.
The test. Oh. You passed.
I wanted to tell him, you know, brother, it's almost our time. And I had probably a week and a half later, I had probably $12 in change. And up here in Canada, we have the $2 pieces as well as the $1 pieces.
Oh, screwy, yeah.
So I had to go up to the grocery store again, and I remember reaching in my pocket. I had this whole handful of change, and like I said, it was probably $12, $13. And I put it in my pocket, and I had a couple of bills. And as always, before I left, I said, please allow me to spread the love and light of the Creator with at least one soul. Well, I'm telling you, I turned onto the main street from mine. I went up maybe half of a block, and who do I see on the other side of this next street? This same guy with the dog. And I walked up to him, put my hand in my pocket, and I said, here, I was told to give this to you. And I just put it in his hand. And, you know, the dog went crazy again and started shaking. And I remember putting my hand on his shoulder. I said, you have a great night. And once again, I walked away, and I had the strongest urge to tell him, brother, time is almost here. And really, really quite incredible. Just the way that, from my perspective, that is spirit communication, you know, following in the direction of spirit. And you make a good point about your story earlier. A lot of times we get caught up in our everyday life, and especially grief. It's so difficult, you know, to counter that. And we can always have friends, you know, that can help us. But the bottom line is that when we get up in the morning, when we look in the mirror, there's only one person looking back. You know, we're on our own, and we have to find a way in order to get over that grief. And it's unfortunate, but that can be a very big barrier. I know for me, it was a very big barrier when I first started to realize that Spirit was communicating with me, that I was being, you know, urged, directed in a very specific direction, and that was to start stimulating, you know, certain aspects of me. And a very quick example was one of the exercises for astral projection that they decided, or they suggested that I do. And I did this religiously, I swear, for, oh man, well over a month, every second day. And I was in pain almost every single time I did it. But what it would do was imagine roots from the feet going down, and of course onto a main root going into a big white pool at the center of the earth. And what would do is draw energy upwards, and you'd have to visualize this in your mind, up the legs, then through each chakra. When it got to the top of the head, what it would do is you would have to visualize it splitting off on either side like a fountain, going down the side of the body and then back up. And they suggested visualizing this, making sure that you see this flow at least twice before you begin on the next practice. Now, my point was that when I began, it was like a black, blue, oily. And as much as I tried, I could not see it in white. And then As I said, it was a month, almost a month and a half. I tried it one day, and it turned a light shade of blue. And I was just ecstatic because something changed that day, and I felt it. And what
wow.
I did next day was I experienced four or five synchronicities where I followed some kind of inner direction, and I don't understand why, but I did. And each of these incidents was better than the one before. So by the time the end of the day came, it ended with a lady who was my lived across the hall from me. We ended up going out for supper. I had loaned her a bit of money while she was waiting for a settlement to come through, and she took me out that night, and we had a wonderful meal, and it was just the cap. Oh my goodness, I just couldn't believe it, you know. And the biggest part of it was expressing gratitude for that happening, because that was a huge awareness for me. Like, that was enormous awareness for me.
So you made a good point there, and I just want to pull it together. In the room, someone said that they use the pendulum for answers. Someone asked, is what you're talking about like deja vu? And I would say, just to recap, because I am trying to pay attention, but I'm really listening to you, Nick, as you're talking, so we kind of emphasize what's really important here. Deja vu is a traveling your own time by 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then you feel like you're living it over, or you may be having dreams that are given to you, whether that's psychic or spirit giving you information. A big one for me is the awareness to pay attention to synchronicity, because I think spirit kind goes out of its way not to amuse you, but to help you pay attention by giving you clues to their working with you, by pulling together synchronicitous events. And I feel like even in my life, because I deal with people and it's hard always to be grounded, to pay attention, to ask for synchronicitous as a sign that we're on the right path. I do pay attention. If I'm going to go somewhere, I know one store will have what I want versus another. And that you pay attention to, and that helps feed your soul to be more conscious, aware of the hits you're getting. But when you're on a heavy growth pattern, like Nick is right at the moment, and you may say, but I'm not there because I have strife, I've lost my job, my husband's left me, or my wife has, and I'm dealing with a young man in Southern California whose wife killed herself. This is heavy duty. But if you kind of surrender to the process, what's given to you, I don't know if that's the right word. If you're going into the situation and you feel you're out of control, relax, because the universe is, you're being guided through this for whatever reason. Say, I'm open and I'm surrendering and I'm looking for your guidance to know what's best for me now. Then you're open up to spirit allowing that input to be right in your fingertips or right in your mind or right in your consciousness, like he's speaking to. And one day, he said he had one bump after another, and he followed it, he trusted it. Now, we're not talking about you going down to the railroad and saying, okay, God, universe, spirit, do I step in front of this train or not? We're not talking about that. You're doing your life, and you're paying attention to spirit trying to get to you. In the 80s, I just mentioned this to a client the other day, Celestial Prophecy came out. It was channeled. Some people say they have good imaginations, but one of them is the fourth or fifth commandment that said, and which I don't have the cards handy, I'd be reading it to you, maybe I should pull them out. And it was, fourth or fifth commandment was synchronicity. When the angels are working with you, synchronicity is more apparent. And you look for that in your life, and you're going to see more of it, and it's going to be more predominant and more evident. And if you have a tendency to be where, I'm going to use this easy word, be able to see, to hear, or feel, sense, or feel, that psychic awareness trigger will get larger and bigger for you. There are people who say, you know, I don't do any of the other feel, see, hear, whatever, but I can do automatic writing. That is great. Use the pendulum. Use the tarot deck. I don't use tarot, but I do have a girlfriend in California, Carlotta, if you're listening, And we used to sit up and for hours play with the Voyager cards. And since then, you know, I love artwork. Some of them are amazingly beautiful. If that gives you a psychic hit or trigger for information, use it for yourself. And allow that to be your tool to click in and hear spirit kind guide you and give you that information at that moment for you and your spiritual awakening. Ta-da! How's that? Hope that answers a couple of you. Oh, this gal, it's Greg said most of his have been in his dreams. Absolutely. And Nick said that's what's happening with him mostly, but he's now going into the place where the spirit kind are talking, giving him messages. Oh, that's just lovely. Okay, Nick, keep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It one of the things that I really had to wrestle with, and it can be so defeating for people that are just realizing that they do have very specific gifts and they have a very unique communication or a method of communication with spirit, is it can be so self-defeating when we begin to compare ourselves to other people. And that was probably the most difficult for me, because it was so demoralizing. You know, here I was, like I said, the first month and a half, and I was putting a very honest effort into these exercises, and it felt like I was getting nowhere. But I understand now. You know, I had never worked with meridians. You know, I had never worked with chakras before. I'd never run energy through my body at all. And it's small wonder that it was such an oily black-blue color. But
now, how did you come up with this idea? Because some in the audience, Gary, hello there. I see you. How do we choose what medium or what visual? How did you get to a place of knowing how to choose a meditation that worked for you?
This particular one, this visualization, was part of the instruction as far as preparing a person for astral travel. And this was exercises in order to attune the energy bodies with our physical body. And it was an essential component. Now, one other thing that I should mention, I had said earlier that because of these exercises, some of these exercises, I branched off into other areas. And one in particular was an exercise that I didn't understand at the time. I had no idea what I was doing. All I know was that it didn't seem unusual in the least. But here's what a person would do. And if you look, anybody been to my show, you heard a bit about servitor magic and my experience, the work that I've done with servitors. Simply opening each chakra, closing your eyes, and visualizing a blue silver cord emerging from your solar plexus chakra, coming out about 8 feet in front of you, and then slowly spraying out a fine silver blue mist, and slowly forming that into a sphere. There's another exercise which they call the forming the shadow self, which you form it into roughly a human shape, and you address it as though it's part of you, because it really is. What you're doing is you are putting out part of your astral matter directly in front of you. Now, this particular sphere, I had no idea what this was. All I know was that I could do it, and I could see myself doing it, and then, of course, reabsorbing it, and it wasn't unusual. I didn't find that unusual or strange in the least, and it took me 9 months. I wasn't ready yet to find out what that was, but it took me 9 months before I finally came across the resources and people that I was able to understand that this is some very special magic, and it's a very special branch of magic using thought forms or constructs, as I said, known as servitors. Tibetan monks call them tulpas, and they are small images that they use for a wide variety of purposes. And as I read about it, these have been used for thousands of years by shamans, by seers, by medicine people, as communication, mainly for information gathering. About enemy troop movement, hunting grounds, things like that. But they would send out this part of themselves to view the area. They would bring it back.
That's a traveling, sure.
Information would be downloaded into their conscious mind. And it is quite accurate in some cases, but it takes time to understand what you're seeing. And that's and I think you could probably relate well to that when, you know, when you first began understanding certain symbols or symbolism that you may receive about specific things. Nancy?
Yeah, I'm thinking, I just saw something in the room. I thought I saw someone trying to ask you a question. So then I would like to ask you, as you're talking about that, because I feel like the room, the people in the room would say, okay, now he does this. How did he find this information? You have a lot of blog sites, and you do talk about the magic you just spoke of learning this. I would say to the audience listening, to ask your guides to show you what book or where to go for what could be your best meditation tool. Clearly, Nick is expressing the meditation tools that he used to bring clarity into whatever form of communication would be brought to him. I don't know if you have I've been seeing somebody in there giving your blog site out, but I can read the description. There's a lot here. Do you cover any of this, what you call the meditation magic you've been experiencing on any of your blog sites? Can you remember that? Or here you have one. His other links are astralmusing.bravehost.com. That's listed there. I think people would like to know how you do that. Huh?
That is actually quite interesting, because it was a very prime example of spirit communication that I didn't even realize at the time. And this is Astro Musing is actually my poetry site that I have.
Oh, I apologize.
put on, I believe it's 7 or 8 very specific poems on there. I also have a poetry blog that has more of my pastoral stuff. That was also a gift that was given to me, the understanding that, I've been able to write poetry since I was, for as long as I can remember, 6 or 7 years old, and I was writing poetry, and I knew that, I just assumed that everybody could do the same thing. And what I was found was that it was a valuable tool for me in order to, negative emotions, I could put it down as write about a character in a poem, and I could transfer that negativity to the individual, and it would allow me as an author, as a writer, to look at this objectively. It was quite incredible, and I didn't realize it until, probably the last couple of years, the great significance of that. And that was a wonderful, wonderful awareness and a wonderful gift that Spirit gave to me, that awareness of being able to do that. The book that I did use for learning about astral projection was put out by a couple called Denning and Phillips, and it was called A Practical Guide to Astral Projection.
Spell that. What was that first word again?
Denning and Phillips. Denning, D-E-N-N-I-N-G, and Phillips. P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S, I believe.
Thank you.
It's available at Llewellyn, if everybody, anybody knows the site Llewellyn. They have that on display, and I believe through Amazon as well. Now, they're very, very well-known occult writers, and they have books on such incredible, incredible number of things, but they write it from the perspective of magic and their life, and that's what I found unique. I mean, there's other people. I used work from Robert Bruce as well. Some of you may recognize that name, and he is probably one of the foremost experts on methods of astral projection. In fact, one of the things that he does that I was absolutely floored, he works with blind people, teaching them to astral project from their body. And he developed a very specific type of exit, but he calls it a tactile method. Now, if any of you are familiar, most methods, they suggest that first he form what's called an astral vehicle, the vehicle that your consciousness is going to reside in once you leave and go travel, whatever, on this plane, on the astral plane. But what he does in this tactile is, instead of visualizing, it is feeling. And it is feeling of imagining your astral hands reaching out and grabbing hold of a rope, an imaginary rope. And instead of seeing it, feeling it within your hands, feeling the rough texture. And he goes in much greater into detail about how to do this and how to slowly develop it. But the principle of it is, of course, you slowly pull yourself out of your body. So instead
of
your consciousness, this is a totally different method. You're pulling yourself out physically from your body. And if any of you have done any experimentation with this, you, when you begin, even right up until you're able to exit your body, one of the key things that I found was major vibrations. The body goes through some major vibrations as the astral body starts to shake loose. And get very scared with that, right? They're very, very frightened with that. And it is nothing to be frightened about. I found it very beneficial just to ask for some protection before. I mean, it's usually not strictly necessary, and a lot of people say, like Robert Bruce, he doesn't believe that that is actually necessary to ask for protection, but if you're feeling uncertain about it at all, always, always, always ask for protection, and, you know, go right to the top and ask for Mike.
Ask for the guy, huh? I love it. Oh, my gosh. You know, I find this just lovely. There's some books I read so many years ago, Robert Monroe, Far Journeys and Journeys Out of the Body.
Oh, yes, I read that too. That made a huge impact on me. That was
absolutely. I got all these books in my house, and then every time I move, I have to haul them everywhere. I won't give them up. The other gentleman out of Southern California, Soul Traveler by Albert Taylor. And there's another book of a man with his arms out, but a drawing, not a photograph, and it's called Out of Body Experiences. Now remember, everybody, we're covering a lot of different ways of spirit communication, spirit traveling, remote viewing, out of body experiences, but they're all forms of getting in tune and connected to not only spirit kind to show you, but for you to be part of the cosmic wonderment of what is not being shown to us unless you go there, meaning that people live their life unconscious, unaware, and not spiritually awakened. But because you've clicked into the show tonight, you know, you ask Nancy questions. Where does Nancy go to get these answers? How can I possibly answer these questions in the chat room from kids all over the world if part of my awakening that I was able to in the first place? Clearly, I had a little help from my father giving me the gift, but I could have just avoided it. But we all have the gift to a smaller and greater degree. You can depend on it, get more of it, and just get the benefits of allowing. And that's what Nick is about tonight. He wants it. He's allowing it. He's encouraging it. And part of it, and we maybe should have started with the method of just being aware that meditation and creating visualization. But until we start communicating what the show's about, this was a very important part of it. And I feel like maybe his journey was to read it. I believe the name was Bruce. Or the other one you mentioned earlier. Remember, you can always download this show to get these names of what we've brought up tonight. And it's so exciting. Pardon me?
Or they can contact me. I'd be more than pleased to.
Okay. You want to give out your email over the air, or you have a website?
Or just through Blog Talk. Just send me a note through Blog Talk with your email address.
And okay, so your Blog Talk site is called Spiritual-Sorcery.
Or
Sorcery.
Bright Sorcerer, Bright_Sorcerer.
Oh, is that your Blog Talk site, is Bright Sorcerer?
Yeah, that's my username. I don't know I don't know why they did that. For some reason, when it said become a host now, I had to enter a name for the show, and the show was Spiritual Sorcery, not Bright Sorcerer. So, yeah, okay, that's great, Kathy. Yeah, you've got that up, Spiritual Sorcery.
Thank you, Kathy, for putting on there www.blogtalkradio.com/spiritual-sorcery. So that is the site, and from there you can send him a message. And then we have a gal in here, what if the message causes pain? I don't know if you're talking about out-of-body, as he mentioned earlier, can cause pain, or are you talking emotional pain from the message? I don't know how to answer that. If the pain means you're going to get a message that there's pain coming, when I've done that for people, I've given a caution or a possibility. It gives you time to get used to the idea so it doesn't cause more pain when the event happens. How's that for an answer, Nick?
Awesome. You know what? It's hardly coincident, but I happen to have Soul Traveler by Albert Taylor right in front of me. And I checked out the library, and I really need to tell you about this because my second reawakening was almost 4 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I had hadn't meditated for a couple months, and when I began again, what I found was that I was transported to some location, and there was an entity that was there inside a huge temple, these big wooden doors. And he told me, I asked who you were, and he said, the book you're reading, read chapter 3. And I went into it when I came back, and I read through chapter 3, and of course, you know Nancy, it's just all detailing, you know, some of his adventures out of body, and I'm thinking, what the heck, you know? Something must be wrong here. And then it was probably 4 or 5 days later, I got a strongest urge to pick it up again. And right at the bottom, what happened was he had woken up, he had just begun to leave his body, and he looked around and he saw three robed figures hovering around his bed. Mm-hmm. And it said, oh great, who were the new apparitions? They resembled religious monks. I wondered if I was simply dreaming, or was this an authentic visitation? And if so, what could they possibly want from me? I was really puzzled. And it turns out that these three were his trainers. And as you read the book, part of his mission was spirit rescue, spirits or souls that were trapped on this plane. And he was being trained to assist them with going to the light.
Oh,
that's what these three monks were. They were his trainers, and I totally the first time through, you know. But he, this entity who I now know as Serapis Bay, he told me that book you're reading, read chapter 3. Who he was? It's like, oh my goodness, it was just incredible. It was so it's hardly coincidental that you mentioned it tonight, Nancy.
Well, he's one of my favorite guys. I should give him a call and have him on, but he has his own metaphysical or spiritual group, and he does classes, and it's all in Southern California, so I don't even know if he does shows anymore, but there's so many wonderful authors out there, and we all are in a place where we can have direction given to us where to go. And, you've heard of these stories where people have gone to bookstores and books have fallen off shelves. And as scary as that sounds, it really has happened to me. Oh, we have 1 minute left. Nick, this has been so fun. Oh, kids, if you want me to have him back so we can continue this, write me a note, nancy@nancymatz.com, or go to my site here and forward a little note to me. I have to share with you, I get an awful lot of spam and a lot from Facebook, MySpace, and Blog Talk. So make sure in the subject line, you put Nick, want him back, or talk about this again. There's so many wonderful topics out there, but Nick, you've been charming. We have 40 seconds left. My site is nancymatz.com if you want to check anything I can help you with. Nick, what is the main site you want them to go to look you up?
Just my Blog Talk Radio. If you if you're interested in magic, mysticism, the paranormal, and dispelling myths and misconceptions, this is the place. My show is definitely the place you want to be. It's I enjoy delivering, and it's always information that Spirit has strongly directed me to share. So obviously, a lot of people get a lot of benefit from it.
Thank you guys for being in the chat room. 4 seconds. I love you. Talk to you Thursday night with Bonnie or next week. Bye-bye. Nick, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're done. That was so fun.
That was awesome. I forgot to tell you, I received an email from a lady, a host here called Holly Hines. And what she does in her life is she works with people with post-traumatic stress disorder and other stress
mm-hmm.
disorders. Well, she had invited me to be a guest on her show. And when I replied back, I had mentioned that you had been a guest on my show recently, and you were excellent. And I suggested that she get in touch with you about being a guest, because I think, I don't know, Spirit directed me to do that. And so I'm not sure if she will or not, but as I said, I did let her know. I think you would be ideal for
I
her
I think
show.
You were just, you're just wonderful and charming. And we will have to do this again, because I think the audience in the chat room looks like, I don't know, I think they can all hear us, whoever's in the chat room. Or holding. Thank you for holding on. You can hear us say in the last few minutes here that he will be hopefully on another show. And I just really enjoyed it. I hope that the group here really learned a lot from you, because I can talk all the time, and this is what I do, but they know that. And here you are, just a struggling psychic metaphysician of yourself, and it's more believable when people are struggling and they're trying to find their way, and here you are allowing that to happen. Why don't we hang up, and I'll call you back after I check the numbers, okay?
That's wonderful.
And we'll call you right back in a minute. Bye-bye, dear.
Okay, bye-bye.